Well, I didn't know it was going to go like that, and I got so many different directions to run. We're just going to start, and we're just going to see what happens tonight, okay? But I want to encourage you here tonight. You know, I said that Sunday, I think it was, about, I was listening to the radio, and I heard myself preaching, and I said, what did I say? I said that you can't love people any more than you have the revelation of how much God loves you. And when I said that over the radio, you know, it's just like I'd never heard it before. And I said it. That just, those things that just blow my mind, because it's just, you know, just the Spirit of God. And so it hit me. And I just been chewing on that and chewing on that and chewing on that. And we've been gone a couple of days, and I y'all need to send me away more often. I mean, I got like 46 messages, drinking a cup of coffee, sitting in the middle of a food court, you know. So, I mean, it was just, you know, praise God. I think I just need to go to the rodeo more often or something. I'll say this much. There is nothing that makes me happier than to be standing in a Coliseum with 10,000 cowboys, and they bring that flag out, and they had this little girl, I don't remember how old she was, 9? Sing the national anthem. Man, I sat there just bawling up on the stage. You know, and the guy says, the announcer before, praise in the name of Jesus, you know, and whatever. And I'm just like, man, thank you, God, that there is still some goodness left in this world, you know. And everywhere you go, everybody's just talking. Everybody's friendly. Cowboys from up north, whatever, you know. And it's always so funny to talk to them, because I was talking to this guy from Nebraska, and I said, man, y'all are pretty cold. And he said, yeah, my wife said, snow hadn't melted yet. And I said, well, I'm from South Texas. I said, this is the first time I've worn a coat, and I don't know when. I just had my vest on. I said, this is a full winter coat right here for us, you know. And he says, yeah, but it gets hot down there, you know. He said, well, we all got our problems. He said, just, you know, so we just got to talking. That's the way it is. But, you know, and so I just chewing over messages and looking at this thing and just turning it over and flipping it this way and flipping it that way and just asking God. And he took me to this scripture. And I want to start here in Ephesians chapter 3. So get your Bibles out. Woo! And go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3:14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, stop right there. Let me ask you this question. If that wasn't possible, would Paul have prayed it over? You know, he wouldn't have prayed it. He wouldn't have prayed something that he didn't know was a possibility to be in our lives, that we be strengthened in our inner man. Now, how many of y'all know you can be tired and your feet hurt and your back hurts and, you know, whatever's going on, and you just don't feel, you know, you may be emotionally drained, you may be, you know, whatever. But when God touches you inside of you, you get a revelation from him, man, it's just like, poof, everything's gone, right? Okay, so this is what he's talking about. He says, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Isn't it interesting that that's what he says? The catalyst to having Christ in you and dwelling in you, and you to be strengthened in your inner man, the catalyst to all of that is to be rooted and then grounded in love. In love. You know, I sometimes we get to think about love. Do you know that if you go into the Webster's Dictionary and you look up the definition for love, it's love. Just hit love. What does it mean? And it always has to do with emotion and feeling. But if we all have to depend on our emotions and our feelings, I mean, you know, that isn't going to work. If we're basing out, you know, we have emotions. When you love your kids, you love your wife, you love coffee in the morning. You know, we have all these things that we say we love, right? But that's wrong with the English language, because our word for love is just, it's a big blanket. just covers everything. Because I don't love coffee as much as I love my kids. Right? And the affection that I have for my kids is different than what I have for my wife. Right? But we just call it all love. But none of that even comes into comparison of what really love, God love, agape love really is. You know, we've heard a lot of messages on agape love and all that. But do we have it? Are we rooted and grounded in it? And so you're going to hear more of this message. So, you know, don't. I don't want to see y'all taking a nap when I preach this on Sunday morning or something else, because this stuff is too good. We don't really, you know, I'm going to say it over and over and over again until we finally get it. You're supposed to be in the season of love, right? Okay, so the Bible says in 1 John that if you have fear, then you're not rooted in love. So, wow, that's a pretty good test, a litmus test of what's going on in our life. If we have fear, you're not grounded and rooted in love. Right? Because I, preaching to this good crowd here tonight, you know, I don't think that we habitually, logically desire to sin. We just get into situations and may not handle it right. Are y'all with me? It's two different things. It's another thing if you just get up and say, man, I'm going to snort as much coke today as I can possibly snort, and I'm going to go rob as many liquor stores as I can. Anybody get some way, I'm going to shoot everybody that's out there. I mean, that's a completely different, that's something different, right? It's another thing when you got through praying that morning and you felt pretty good and you got out and then days started going south from there and, you know, before long you found yourself out there kicking the side of your car mad. Y'all with me? But most of us are faced with those kind of situations. You ran into Mr. Ugly that day. You know, Miss Bucket Mouth that spewed out a bunch of stuff on you and, you know, filled your ears full of like they were garbage cans or something, you know? I mean, folks, you can get around people, and I mean, some people, man, they're bleak. They can't say anything good out of their mouth. It's going to come out that it's going to be horrible. And it just gets on you, right? So then what happens? We begin to get into the emotional realm because we're basing everything upon feelings because that's how we're working. Well, you know, whatever. But he says here that we can have strength in our inner man, but if we're going to walk in that strength in our inner man, we have to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, I'm going to take this from a little different twist here. Now, just follow me here. We may be able to comprehend with all the saints, I'm reading verse 18, what is the width, the length, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So he actually tells us that this love that Christ has for us, this love that can indwell us, it actually is more than we're humanly possible of understanding. Right? That you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, folks, I don't know about y'all, but man, it sounds pretty good to be filled with the fullness of God. Right?
Yes.
Now, you don't have to say anything, but it's in your mind right now, just think and imagine here for just a minute. What would you think it means to be filled with the fullness of God? You know, lightning bolts out your fingers, glowing. Every time you pass water, it parts. You know, every time anybody comes up, you know, demons are just screaming and you're just walking down the street. I mean, I'm just throwing this out here. What's in your mind that if you were really full of God and you had the fullness of God in you, what would that, in your mind, what would you say that would be? Well, back over to 1 John, doesn't the verse John tell us that God is love? And if you were full of God, you'd have to be full of love. So rather than being Superman leaping over tall buildings, you may be the most compassionate person in the world. I don't even know if this is the right words. The fuller of God you are, that ain't right. That's the wrong speech, but you know what I'm talking about. However, if you've got more God in you, you're filled up, then what's going to come out of you is going to be more love. More love for humanity, more love for everything, more love for everything. You're going to have more love coming out of you. You're going to look at things differently. Instead of saying, we ought to take that boy out behind the barn and beat him. Right? The compassion that would come out of you would say, look, he's a demon-possessed idiot. Let's go and cast the devil out of him. I mean, that would have more compassion than just take him out behind the barn and beat him. Are you with me? Now, let's read on. Now, unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, according to the power that's working in us. What's this power that would be working in us? Well, it's the power of love. See, we don't think of love as a power. We think of love as an emotion. Think, oh, I just love so much. We think of it all under emotional rules because that's what we're all programmed for. Just think of how many things that we say we love. Oh, I love that song. Oh, I just love, this is my favorite meal. I love this. But it's not what God's talking about. What God's love is so amazing and so great that it says that he sent his only son down here to die for each and every one of us. That he was thinking, just listen to this craziness in our minds. That he died for all of humanity, that he loves them that much. Even when they're rotten, sorry, horrible scoundrels, God loves them. And he wants them to get saved. Now, not all are. Not all are. There's going to be those that'll turn from him. There's going to be those that won't. There's going to be those of an antichrist spirit. You know, when I first got saved, this is kind of a side note. Y'all help me get back on track here in a minute. But I don't know why it was like to say the antichrist, okay? I don't know why it didn't click in my head. It was to me like saying that was his name, like, you know, he's the Antichrist. But when you read the Gospel of John or 1 John, he's talking about the people that don't believe in Jesus, that they are of the Antichrist. So, I mean, just think about it. Antichrist. It's not real complicated. I made it way too big. It was like his name. It's Antichrist. So any person that you run into who says, well, I'm an atheist, they are anti-Christ. They're not for Christ, right? Anything you do or are influenced by that is trying to get you off track to not believe in Christ is anti-Christ. It isn't that complicated. I made it way too big in my mind. I was like, hell, it's the Antichrist, you know? No, he's the Antichrist. He's anti-Christ, right? His name may be Fred. You with me? Okay, so everything that is not of God, that doesn't fall into the category of love, that doesn't agree that Jesus died on this earth for us, is Antichrist, right? So that pretty much can tell you what's in the kingdom of darkness, right? It's anything that's against Christ. Whatever it be, it's Antichrist. Okay, so then the other side, the whole kingdom of God is going to be propelled by who God is, and that's love. So the operation over here of God and his kingdom and the way he moves and the way he flows is all going to have to be based in love. So if we take what Paul said and we turn it on around, he's saying to you, Frankie, I want you to get rooted and grounded in God, in love, so that then when you get rooted and grounded in God, you can be walking in his fullness. Amen. And filled up and strengthened in your inner man. Now, what's the devil's tactic? To get you anti-Christ. To get you out of the kingdom of love, out of the kingdom of, you know, God, out of the kingdom of grace, not walking in the principles and the way he's doing. He's trying to pull you out so you get over there and become anti-Christ. Not for God. Correct? Now, let me show you something here. Go back in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Verse 18. It says in verse 18, Daniel 7:18, it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Okay? So if you read all of Daniel 7, it's talking about the vision that he's seeing and the angels helping interpret it to Daniel when he makes this statement. But he says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever." Now, look over in verse 26. Now, let's read 21. "And I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints and the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." Now look over in 26. "But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." Okay? So, in this vision, the point I'm trying to make here is God has it set up, but there's going to be a kingdom. It's established. It's set in order. And that we're supposed to be walking in it and possessing it. And if God is love, and he wants to fill us with his fullness, and his kingdom works in love, then this is a kingdom of love. And he says then, he gave it to the saints, he favored the saints, and the saints can have it, but the saints have got to walk in it. They got to possess it. Somebody says, "Okay, I'll give you my truck out in the parking lot." Okay, well, that's the statement, "I gave you the truck." But you don't, until you walk out there and get in it and I give you the title, you didn't take possession of it. You with me? So it is possible for God to say, "I give you the kingdom," but then we have to go possess it. And that's where the struggle is. Because he gave us the kingdom. I mean, we can go through a whole bunch of more scriptures and I can show you all about dominions and kingdoms. I mean, you know, it was always intended this way. Genesis 1, 28 said, I want to give you authority. I give you the dominion over everything that's here. It was always God's intention for us to reign in his kingdom, I mean, in other words, his way of doing things on earth, and that had to do something, though. We had to go take possession of it. So then, let's just take this for instance. If you choose to walk in unforgiveness, well, that's not a part of the kingdom. You can't possess the kingdom and walk in unforgiveness. So that's why God said, "Look, you got to forgive even as I forgive you." Put that in my terminology. You're a pretty big sinner, and I forgave you everything. So you better start loving that person and not hold it against him. Right? Because when you do, not because, "Oh, that makes you such a bad person." No, you just stepped out of the principle of the operation of the kingdom of God, so you can't possess what's yours because you're not in it. It's about possession. And what I keep hearing God saying over and over to me is that we've got to teach the saints to possess the kingdom. And I can see even in my own life where or even all the years that I've served the Lord and everything I've done and everything I've prayed and thought and grown and all this kind of stuff, there's still parts of the kingdom that I haven't possessed. And I want the fullness of God. Amen. What a glory to leave planet Earth and somebody could write on my tombstone, "He received the fullness of God." Right? And I don't want any circumstance or situation or any person or anything that's in this world, because folks, we gotta get a reality of heaven and that we're not living here forever. So why let this temporal kingdom here on earth have dominion over us? Because we didn't possess the kingdom of love to walk in victory. Why? It's not worth it. It's not worth it in here on this earth to miss what God has for us in heaven, because we wouldn't possess what was here. Right? I want the abundance. I want the fullness. It doesn't make any difference if you are proven wrong. So what? I'll be proven wrong to keep walking in the kingdom. Is it any fun? No. But neither was going to the cross and getting your flesh beat off of you either. I mean, it was no picnic what Jesus did for us and gave us eternal life. Folks, we've got to get this reality out of not in our heads, but down in our hearts. It's got to be a revelation that comes out of our inner man, our born-again part of us, and jumps in through us and out of our head that changes all the way we look at things. Now, the laws that govern in one state in the United States don't govern in the other state. I mean, there's federal laws that go all over, but I'm just talking, there's state laws that don't, you know, that don't fit. I was laughing. I ran into a guy, because everybody just visits up there and can talk to anybody. And this guy stopped and was talking to me, and he said something about, asked me about Texas and concealed carry permits and this and that and the other, and asked us what we had to do. And I told him what was the deal. And he said, "Really?" He said, "Man, up here you just call the police station and get your fingerprints, and I think you pay $60, and then they give you the permit, and then you can carry concealed." And I said, "Really?" He said, "You don't have to go through no test or nothing." I said, "Where are you living?" "Seattle, Washington." I said, "What? One of the most liberal states in the United States, and you're telling me that's all they got for a law? And down here, we go through all these other hoops? That don't make sense." But their law doesn't govern us, and our law doesn't govern them. Anytime you get yourself out of the kingdom of God and his governance and what he's doing, well, then it doesn't apply. No matter how you prayed, no matter how you what you did, no matter what went on, no matter how many cookies you made and gave away and whatever else you did, you can do all the things in the world. I mean, just think about it. You could be the nicest person in the world, and you could just do things for people and help people and just give to the homeless and help and do all this stuff. You spend your whole life doing that. But if you did it from the wrong motivation, it didn't count anything in heaven. But the world says, "Oh, no, no, works count." But in heaven, works don't count. In heaven, all that counts is, can you walk in love? Can you possess the kingdom of God and walk in love? Not the ushy emotional kind of love, but the kind of love that gives you the power to walk out his principles. Isn't that crazy? Because our it's going to be hard for us to understand to walk in love if we don't understand what love means. You can't tell me, I can't say that, but, well, I was going to say, you can't tell me that Jesus felt emotional compassion for the guys that were beating him. I said, I don't know that. I shouldn't be speaking for the Lord in that matter. But the love that we're talking about doesn't have anything to do with the emotional feelings of feeling, you know, looking out over them and saying, "I love you so much as you beat me." What it has to do with is the power of saying, no, God, I'm going to forgive them. Right? Isn't that what he said? What did he say from the cross? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He tapped into love and the power of love because he said, Lord, I want to forgive them. Didn't say he's going to feel some tender-hearted, tear-jerking experience over it. I mean, we got the wrong image of love, right? It came down to this knowing I'm saying, I'm going to forgive them. Forgive them, Lord, if they don't know what they're doing. Then all of a sudden, he was possessing the power and the fullness of the kingdom of God because he was operating in those principles. Because anytime that gets out of the principle of love, then we're not going to have that fullness of God. And I know this, you know, this is probably isn't a real popular message because most of us have been hurt by somebody or something, and we really want justification. I mean, that's really what we want. We want court to be held and them drug out, and then as they're about to chop their head off at the guillotine, we stop and say, that's okay, forgive them. But they didn't know what they were doing. But we want that joy of, yeah. Right? I mean, y'all agree with me here because I don't want to feel like I'm the only crazy one in the bunch, all right? Yeah, am I right? We just want to, you know, yeah, feel the heat, turn the blowtorch up, you know, see some things happen, and then we'll step up at the last second and say, stop. Let them live. Yeah. Let them get scared, freak out. Feel the wrath. Right? Because we're basing it upon love as an emotion. But love is a choice. And it's a choice, but that choice brings us power and puts us in the middle of possessing the kingdom of God. So for the first thing that you can do that you can start to look at in life is you can look back and see any place that there's fear in you, then you're not rooted and grounded in love in that area. Right? I remember, and we were thinking about this the other day, when Joseph was a little boy, and we were back in East Texas at a cattle sale, he fell out of a tree and broke his arm. And I was working the cattle sale, and they came and got me, and I went over there, and I don't know, it just didn't hit me that my son could break his arm, you know? So I was saved, I was born again, and you know, full of the Holy Ghost and everything, and so I went over there and said, is his arm really broken, you know? I mean, he didn't sprain his arm or whatever, and they had taken a magazine and had it around his arm, and I said, just take it off and look at it, man, oh. Yeah, his arms broke. I mean, it was like almost passed out. It was just the bone was almost coming through the skin, you know. And I was like, ah, put it back on there. You know, I can't look at that. His arms broke. And so, you know, immediately, you know, I mean, Laura and I joined hands. We prayed over the situation, you know, prayed for God to give us wisdom. You know, we were broke, didn't have a dollar. I didn't even have a vehicle back there we could drive back. Had to get my mother's car and, you know, drive back. And we ended up in the hospital there in that area, but he had already eaten lunch, and they said, we can't do it. He has to go, you know, have to put him out. You might as well drive back to San Antonio and be where you are. And so, you know, we just by faith got in the car and drove to San Antonio, not knowing where to go. They had a doctor lined up for us at the hospital, but we knew where we were going, but not know what we were going to get into. And, you know, in those situations, a lot of fear can come in, right? I mean, it's a natural response. But we were praying and saying, oh, God, you're going to take care of everything. You know, I just know it's going to be there. And there was confidence on the inside of me that God could deliver us. But yet there was fear that, what are we walking into? And, you know, it's our baby and he's hurt and whatever. And so anyway, we get there and we go through the deal. And, man, it just ended up God just opened up the doors. And the third leading orthopedic surgeon happened to be there on call that week. And you know, took Joe right in. They did the deal. They got it all set and everything. And then there was the fear of, well, we got to pay, you know. We don't have any money, don't have any insurance, what are we going to do now? And I can remember we prayed, you know, we just prayed about everything, just prayed. And I said, okay, you know, well, all we can do is go to the office and just tell them, you know, we ain't got any money, and we'll do everything we can. We don't want to walk, you know, we're not just going to skip the bill, but, you know, help us out to tell us what to do. And the lady went in there, and we're talking to her, and I still remember looking in that, you know, it was behind the glass plate, and she's back there, and I said, ma'am, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but, you know, we'll do whatever. And she said, what do you do, son? And I said, well, I'm a youth minister at our church. And she's, oh, really? Great. We just had a grant come in for pastors. We'll just make that part of it. And it'll cover it all. And I'm like, it'll cover it all. I mean, it was like in a dream, you know? And I'm like, is this for real? You're really going to do this? And what I was just in there in fear of, now you're covering it? And I just remember, like, I don't know whether to just say, God bless you, thank you, and run, because that's what the last thing was, or do I need to sign something, or, you know, and so we kind of hung around there, and they, you know, I think maybe they asked us to sign something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was minor from what I thought was going to happen, right? I mean, it was like a clipboard with a couple of pieces of paper, and you just signed your name to it, and I walked out of the hospital. Oh, man, I came back, you know, telling everybody the testimony here at church, and shouting glory and praising, I'm jumping up and down. Oh, God, man, I was built up. Man, I was swelled, you know, on how big my God is. And then we get an envelope letter one day, like 3 or 4 weeks later, and we get this letter comes in, and I look at it, and it's a doctor's name up on the deal. And I was like, I want to get a deal from the doctor, you know. So we got the bill. We opened it up, and it was a bill for the anesthesiologist. Why they don't get in the boat with everybody else, I don't know. Anesthesiologist sends the deal. It's like $450 for the anesthesiologist, you know, whatever. And I remember I just melted. Oh, my God, $450. I'm going to pay this guy $450, you know. Not thinking about it, I just got delivered for heaven knows how much. But that just sent me in a tailspin. I looked at that bill, and it was just like, it might as well have been $400 million, you know. I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh, there's no way I'll pay this back. And then I remember, you know, my wife, God bless her, you know, she always gets me and pulls me up and sits me in the chair and tells me what's wrong. I said, come on, you know, God delivers some of this other. We'll get through this. We'll make, you know, we'll do something. And sure enough, we did, you know, a little bit at a time. We hacked at it. Just called the guy and said, look, man, I ain't got no money. You should have been on the other bill. That was the deal of the century. You missed out. Where were you? But I said, we'll get you paid off. And so we did, you know, $20 it for forever until I got the guy paid off. Point is, see, we think we don't have fear, right? We think that we're invincible until the situation arises, and then when the thing sticks up its ugly head, then we're like, ah, for that moment. Well, I'm just telling you, that's understandable. It's just not good to stay in that. We've got to get ourselves out because we possess a kingdom that will work and will bring about everything that we need in our lives, no matter what we're faced with. Because he said we could be filled with the fullness of God. And folks, if you're filled with the fullness of God, then I'm pretty sure everything's going to work out. Amen. Right? I mean, how could it not? So when I read that, what it says to me is it's not just filled with the fullness of God. It means that everything that's in the fullness of God in the kingdom is yours to possess. Are we just going to possess it? And so what we have to do is we have to really change our definition of love and start to understand that that's the way the kingdom of God functions and works. And start to look at the agape love, how God could look down from heaven and love all of us without Jesus. Forgive us, love us. Amen? And then how we can't turn around and use that same power for others. Amen. And the challenge is live in this stupid fallen world. That's the challenge. And until Jesus comes back and rolls the skies back and starts over again, we all get out of this thing. This is where we're set. So, we got to possess our kingdom. Right? So what I want to ask you to do is to start in these next few weeks just asking God, how can I possess my kingdom? Where am I falling short? Where am I walking in fear? Where am I not trusting you? Where am I not walking in the fullness? And how do I need to change? And I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost will show you. The Holy Ghost will show you, and he'll get you right where you need to be. And then victory will be yours. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, hey, be filled with the fullness. Be ye filled with the fullness. Amen? Praise God. Well, I got a whole bunch more on this, but we'll tear into that at another time.